On this week's episode of the Warp World Podcast, we've actually got some big internal, some Warp World gang news at the end of the show. So stick around, listen to it. Important, but not the most important. It is important, but we'll see you at the end of the show. Thanks for listening.
You are now listening to the Warp World Podcast. Boom shakalaka.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Warp World Podcast, your premier podcast for gaming and whatever the else we end up talking about. I'm host, joined by host and host. That's what it says here. X-Water.
That's me. I'm host.
I'm also host. Host,
joined by host, yeah. And host.
Yeah, that's
oh,
me.
Oh, names. Of course. I'm Grant Pooh Bear.
Come on, X-Water. But, you know he just reads what's in front of him.
Yeah.
you know he reads whatever you put in front of him. Come on.
Go fuck yourself, Twitch chat. You know? Oh, shit. I just lost my mic. My mic just...
Oh, yeah. Wow. It just fell off.
My mic just
wow.
rejected me. Yeah. It just rejected me right
Dude,
here.
Dude, immediately... They're fighting back immediately. You tell them to fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Amazing. This is the content we subscribe to.
Oh, my God. It's literally down. This is bad.
Man down.
We got man down,
this
man
is bad.
Down.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You're going to have to actually introduce us here while I unplug this and screw it back on real quick.
Okay. So I'm X-Water. Jakku is Jakku. And then the one whose mic is on the ground is Grand Pooh Bear. He's struggling a little bit. It looks like it's unplugged now. He's working it. He's trying.
Yeah.
He's kind of new to this whole microphone thing. He's doing his best.
This is how could this happen? That microphone was one day away from retiring.
Oh man.
This is
anyway. It's been a pretty nice week. We're in the first day of October now.
It's October.
Dude, we're almost at the end of 2020, and
it doesn't mean anything.
2021 is going to be much better.
Yeah, but it's October.
It's October.
What the heck? Mario Master Coliseum's over, or would have been. TwitchCon
would have been over. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Trick or treating. That's not in the cards, right?
Dude,
that's not going to happen.
Mean, definitely not in the cards.
No. So they're like suggesting like doing trick or treat. Yeah, I am back. That was if you guys watch the video version of that, you're gonna
it's
see
pretty
some
funny.
Shit. Yeah. Anyway, what we're doing is we're putting candy like in front of our garage. You know, individual bags. We're gonna have some full size candy for these kids. One kid's probably gonna steal it all. And then we're going to have a big ass sign that says, show off your costume for our camera, because we're putting it right in front of our Ring camera. You know what I mean? So do a little twirl right here. Show off your costume. Flex it. And then take your candy. Be on your way.
You guys, I think, are going to have a lot of leftover candy. Either that or that one kid's going away with all the bars.
That's totally okay. You know what I mean? That's totally okay.
Yeah. I like that you're at least going to do it, because honestly, I live on a busy road. I'm probably not going to do anything.
I'm trying to think of a way to bring technology into it a little bit more to prevent people from stealing all the candy. I think I saw someone do like you could do like a face scanner, but obviously people are wearing masks and face privacy is kind of big, so nobody would go for that. But like you could scan the kid's face to detect if they went and got the candy yet for the day, and then just... you know, drop out some candy for them. And if they scan again, it's like, no, go away. You've already been scanned. It would suck for twins.
What's to stop them from taking a bag without scanning, though?
It doesn't drop without the scan. Like there's
So we need a dropping mechanism too.
Yeah. So it's like a vending machine that scans your face, but it would suck for twins. you know, it's just.
Yeah, twins would be rough.
Privacy
if there was
concerns
like,
would be terrible. And you can't
and
do.
And what's the stuff? You know, a lot of kids are really good at making faces. So, like, if you did one, you came up again and you, like,
maybe.
Pretended you had an airhead or a warhead in your mouth, sour lips and everything.
Yeah.
You'd probably just sneak out a couple.
No, you're right. And then, and you can't do fingerprint scanning because, like, COVID. Like, that's the whole point. Like, you don't want
to
touch stuff.
The whole point is not to be touching stuff. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah.
I just feel most parents who are concerned about the virus, which I would like to think is most. If I was in the situation, I'd be like, listen, kid, we'll go to the candy store. I'll buy you 30 bucks worth, but you can't go trick or treating. Like we'll get you 30 bucks worth of candy. That's 30 or so full sized bars. If you're picking the right stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
like the whole point of it is to get like candy that you wouldn't normally go and buy yourself, and you try new things, and it's just like an experience. Like, you're, you know, once you reach a certain age trick-or-treating, like, you do it on your own. And it's like you're exploring your neighborhood on your own. You're with your friends. It's just, it's such a social thing.
It is. Yeah. It's not entirely about the candy, yeah, for sure.
Which is sad.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, I don't know, man. And people are taking more, you know, they're just every day people loosen up a little bit more, you know, mm-hmm, what I mean? And then until they get, you know, something bad happens, and then they,
yeah, then they're like, up. Oh no. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think there are going to be a good amount of kids out, just because, like, what else are you going to do? And honestly, in the grand scheme of things, I feel like it is something you can make be relatively safe. Like, yeah, if you're just not a douchebag about it, you know, yeah, what I mean?
Yeah. And I think you're
let me give you an example. This is really funny. So my niece and nephew had a socially distanced graduation party. And at the end, they all hung out in the garage and were taking beer bongs. And my sister was not concerned, not about the beer bongs, whatever, they're, yeah, going to college, you know what I mean? She was concerned, like, there was only one beer bong. And the, yeah, kids were like, listen, don't worry. Don't worry. We were Clorox wiping it down before everyone took one. And so it's like, they got their minds in the right spot, but they're still going to do shit, is what, yeah, I'm saying. Kids still, yeah, going to be kidding.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you know, like, they got their, I don't know. Like, it's just, I think it's going to happen. I would not take in my kid trick-or-treating. Right. Well, luckily, he's young enough where it doesn't, right, matter.
Exactly. I was going to say, yeah, he's young enough, not really matter.
No.
And I think, like, listen, like, it's Halloween. Masks are worn typically on Halloween, and, like,
right,
we're all used to that. So, like, yeah, it's usually you have, like, gloves on. They're not really gloves. Like, they're part of your costume typically, depending on your costume. But, like, yeah, there's a lot that kids can do to kind of be a little safe about it. I think it is the going door to door part. And I think, like, you're doing it right. Like, you got the candy outside. You got the, yep, camera, so you can do that. And they're not interacting with, yeah, you. They're not interacting, nope, with other people other than who's with them. And so, like, yeah, I think if most people follow that, it should be a pretty good, safe time. And yeah, like, I got into so many shenanigans when I trick-or-treated. Like, I didn't set fires or egg houses, like, but, you know, I would skimaz extra candy and, like, go to the same house when it was giving out really good candy. I'd, like, change my costume up real quick, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's,
oh,
all part,
yeah,
of the shenanigans. You gotta have that. You gotta have that in your life.
Scamming, yeah, out the most, that, candy as possible is, like, one of my fondest memories, yeah, of Halloween. Like, you find the neighborhoods that have... It's like it's almost like practicing data collection growing up. Cause, yeah, like, you're 10 and you're like, oh man, that street had 3 full candy bar houses. So the next year you plan your entire route around that street and you find, like, another neighborhood nearby. And eventually when you get, like, to the age where you can be like, all right, we're biking and trick or treating this year, we're hitting this street,
oh, wow,
then we're going to this, yeah, part of town, yeah, and you get, like, super efficient about it.
That's the, yeah, glorious time. Yeah. That is the most glorious time.
The last year you trick-or-treat, I think, is, like, probably the coolest one.
That's,
yeah,
the best year. Yeah.
The last year I trick-or-treated.
The time where you're not old enough where trick-or-treating's not cool, but you're old enough where you don't need parental supervision.
Yeah.
That's the optimal year. And it's such a small time.
What's the last year, yeah, you guys trick-or-treated?
Once you're in high school, I think grade 9 might be the last year I went out.
I think probably 7th or 8th grade, I would guess.
Okay, my last year trick-or-treating was my first year in Chicago.
So when, like, I was
19, 20, yeah.
Going around and, oh man, I'm just imagining you walking around, like, some busy, no, Chicago, well, no, neighborhood.
Trick-or-treat.
Like, get the hell out of here.
Guess what my costume was?
Carrot top.
Wow. No, I was a ghost. Bad sheet ghost.
Oh, trick or treat.
I got the most compliments. My friend went as, like, a hobbit that, like, was full on hobbit style, like, amazing. But they're like, I haven't seen a ghost in so many years. This is so cool.
They love the classic.
Yeah.
They love the classic.
But yeah, I'm like, I'm in Chicago. I got a trick or treat in Chicago once.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Got to experience it. Yeah.
I explored the neighborhoods.
Trick or treat.
You know, I just got done shaving. I cut myself shaving. That's part of my costume.
Yeah, it's blood.
Yeah, that's part of my costume.
I'm a bloody ghost. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always had really bad costumes when I was like, I would like day before be like, all right, what do we got around the house? Grab my brother's basketball jersey. Like, look at me. I'm an NBA player.
I can only remember. I was a Ninja Turtle once. And that's like the only costume I really remember when I was younger.
I feel like I never had any good ones as a kid.
I've had some pretty good ones as a kid and an adult. I'm pretty proud of my costume repertoire.
Nice.
I did have some complete misses, though. I had two complete misses. One I wouldn't even say. It's such a miss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I've had multiple misses, so they happen. Anyway, it's like
no misses like Justin Trudeau, though.
No.
I had to get that in there, X-Water. I'm sorry.
No, definitely no misses like that.
That's two a week, Jaku. That's two this week.
I know.
What are you hating on Trudeau now? What is going on?
No, we were comparing Trudeau to, you know, someone that's similar in a similar power in our nation.
Let me ask you a question, X-Water. How often, like, in your day-to-day life, do you, like, have his name come up or have to see him or something else? Does that make sense?
The last two times were probably within this last 30 days, two times, and both of them were Jaku here and then on Tuesday. Like, his name never comes up. I hear way more, like, from people locally. Like, I hear way more about the Ontario... I don't know what the name is of the president of the province, but that guy, I think it's the premier, maybe, I don't know, but Doug Ford, that people love to complain about that guy.
Yeah, well, he's still
hate that guy.
That's the crackhead's brother.
Yeah.
That's his brother. Yep. But yeah, oh my goodness.
Okay, that's pretty.
Yeah, because one was the mayor of Toronto, and then the other one's the mayor of the province.
Oh man, they got their whole family in on this game.
Yeah, that's how you do it. But like, oh my God, dude, we have to hear about it. It's literally every single day for us.
Yeah.
Every single day we got to hear about this fucking guy. Oh my God. My biggest hope is that I go one day without having to hear about whoever our leader is. Just one day.
Okay. Have you heard about the movie that's coming out right before the election though?
No.
The Borat movie?
They're doing Borat 2. Amazon Prime bought it, and it's coming out like right before the election. And he has like, I watched the trailer today, man. It's classic Borat, funny as hell. He has some bit where he like jumps in on a talk that Michael Pence is doing.
Yep.
He calls him like Mikhail Panis, and it just cracked me up.
Yeah, honestly, like we didn't realize it, but Borat in 2020 is what we needed.
Dude, yeah, our hero has arrived.
Yeah, like
in the form of that.
Like, Borat is an interesting character. Like, when was the first Borat movie out?
I think 2006. I
mean, long enough ago where they could make another one, conceivably, where people wouldn't remember who he was. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So,
dude, it's a whole bit in the trailer. Like, he's like hiding from the public, walking around with a bag over his head because everyone knows who he is.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. That's what I heard. He had to do like even more disguises. Like he's disguised as Borat.
He's Borat disguised as someone else.
Yeah. Which is getting a little extra meta right there, but I kind of love it. You know?
No, all of his characters have been pretty funny. Like, I remember finding LEG in like early 2000s and just cracking up and like the moon landing and his interviews and stuff and be like, who is this guy? And then like finding out, oh, that's a character, and he plays him very well.
It's just amazing how he can get access to all this. Did you guys watch his This Is America?
No.
Is that the document? Like, he did like what, a couple episodes and he would like basically have people in America in power embarrass themselves by like talking to him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My
I watched like two episodes of it.
Yeah, he got one guy to commit to a kindergarten militia. He got another guy to say some like really racist shit, you know. It was
that's not hard
horribly,
these days.
I know. It was, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what? I was so grateful that I had a Fall Guys tournament, even though I lost it. I was so grateful to have a Fall Guys tournament instead of having to watch the debate. When I got Dude, when I got done, my wife was so drunk. She was so drunk. Yeah. She's barely drank since we've had the kid. She was
right
hammered. Hammered about it. She was just like, this is ridiculous. So I'm just glad I didn't have to watch it.
Yeah, we were watching it before our meeting, and some people wanted to dip out to go finish it during the meeting and stuff. It's got a good few memes from it.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying the "Will you shut up, man?"
Have you seen the one with the owl?
Yeah.
It's got the Zelda owl one. The Zelda owl where it's like, you will encounter many hardships ahead, and it's then invited. Will you shut up, man?
That's actually really funny.
Yeah.
There was a Star Wars one that it was a Lord of the Rings. Why they just didn't take the eagles to Mordor? Will you shut up, man? Like, oh, so good, but like also horrible. They're literally talking about adding a mute to the debates, the next one, having a way to mute the candidates, which is just like, wow. Like, people most people playing Among Us will mute themselves, unlike that one guy.
We have a more civil time when we play Among Us than like what's going down there.
Yeah. And that's 10 people.
10 people and murder is on the line.
And yeah, it's insane. But yeah, people got drunk during it for sure. I haven't had a beer in forever, so probably would have been a good idea though. Maybe our stock up for the next one.
It's definitely something else, you know.
Yeah,
I got secondhand everything. Like, I was just like kind of browsing Twitter, and I was like, the debate is on. That's
all
what's
I got
happening.
Was from Twitter. Yeah, all I got was from Twitter, and it was just like, it was amazing how everyone, like, very rarely does everyone tweet the same fucking thing all at once,
right?
And everyone, not only were they tweeting about the same thing all at once, but they were literally tweeting like the same tweets. You know what I mean? Like, like the reactions were just all so similar and incredibly like, what the fuck, you know? But
yeah, funny enough.
Anyway, only got a month and five more days, dude.
Yeah, well hope. But funny enough, the thing about Twitter, same thing happened today when Nintendo announced a new Smash character.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Twitter just couldn't handle it.
They couldn't.
You know what? Everyone's like, Smash broke Twitter. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think those two things were related, guys. A. But B, if there's ever been a character that I would want to tweet, I've never tweeted about Smash Brother characters, but if there was, it would be Minecraft Steve. I think this is a really, really dope character that they introduced.
Oh, Minecraft Steve.
Yeah, that's
you thought
Steve.
It was... Nabbits. You thought it was Steve from Blue's Clues?
No, I thought it was Steve, like the Steve we know, like Nabbits, X-Water's brother.
Oh, okay.
That's
well,
what
either
I was
way,
like. Yeah.
Would have been
a good character.
Technically, I mean, Minecraft Steve can be anyone you want.
Right.
So that's totally okay.
Yeah. To be honest, Steve could pull off a Minecraft Steve, I think.
Yeah. I think, I mean, he's tall. Minecraft Steve is tall.
Yeah. But like,
yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, he could pull off that'd be a good Halloween costume. I'm Steve from Minecraft.
I wasn't expecting to like this this character as much as I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like I've never really played Minecraft. I had it like for a week in college, and that was like way back. Like that was before food was in the game. So like it was long,
I thought you were going to say that's before food existed.
That was before we figured out we need to eat to stay alive. No, so like his moveset just looks so fun.
You can
build a house on top of people.
Yep.
You can create a redstone path with a T. Like you can create a fuse connected to a dynamite with a pressure block. Like it's so.
You got the piston.
I don't think I'll ever want to play this character like in a tournament or anything, but playing with four friends, I want to be Minecraft Steve and I want to trap one guy in a house and like do some dumb shit, man.
Yeah. And
he looks fun.
And with like four other, like playing with more Minecraft characters, are those skins or Echo Fighters?
I think those are skins. Okay. Like those are the other skins for, so you have the Alex.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The zombie and then the Enderman,
Enderman, yep.
Haven't played. Don't really know what that is.
You're not supposed to look at them, the Enderman.
I see.
Yeah, I've played some Minecraft in my day. I've spent many a nights where like I start at like 10 o'clock and then I realize it's 4 a.m. I'm like, what the fuck? I was a little like, I woke up and like I'd woke up and like the announcement had already happened. And I look on the Twitter and I see Minecraft. I'm like, oh, that must be the character. And I'm like, I wasn't sure how I feel about it because I was like, I didn't hate it. Like, I wasn't like, oh, this is so stupid. How dare you? But I was like, how's he going to work? And then I saw the trailer and I saw similar things that you did, actually, where I'm like, this could work. This could work really well. And
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I think so many people are just so upset that it wasn't the character they want. And how dare they do
every one of these announcements, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think
if
that'll
it's not like a character you're stoked on, you're like, people just cry about it. And yeah. Like, eh. Like,
I think that'll forever be Smash. Yeah. You know, yeah, it doesn't matter who they do.
People wanted Master Chief, which I get, like, but I think he'd be boring. And then, like, but Crash Bandicoot, like, really thought with the timing, because Crash is what coming
Crash
out.
Crash Bandicoot would have felt right. Just got the new game, obviously here to stay in some fashion.
Isn't it on the
Has
Switch?
Has the legacy?
Too?
Yeah, the game, I think so.
New game's on the
think
Switch. So. So, yeah, you know, it would have been good. Yeah, I kind of agree. I think Crash Bandicoot would have been a great pick as well. But I mean, you're talking about Minecraft is.
It's huge.
Arguably the biggest, one of the top three biggest games of all time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it technically is the best-selling game of all time.
Yes. There might be, you could argue League is bigger. You could argue Fortnite has grown to bigger heights. You could argue a couple of those games have had bigger peaks maybe. But, I mean, Minecraft's been around forever.
It's been around for a while now. Point. It was on the Wii U. It was on the Xbox 360. It's been on PC. Like, it's been around for two generations. It's fine. There's really no cutoff for when you could add a character, I feel like, or like they have to be around for 20 years sort of thing. There should be no rules around that.
Yeah.
But like it's done. It's like Minecraft has done more for gaming than a lot of characters in Smash. And like, it's great. Like at the end of the day, more characters is great. If it's not your character, that sucks. But like, why the hate? Like so much hate. It just doesn't make sense to be so upset about that.
I've luckily just been ignoring Smash Twitter and like I'm just I stay in my bubble of my Discord and my community and our general side of Twitch most of the time. So like anyone I've talked to has been like, "Yo, it's cool," or "Oh, I don't really play Minecraft, but that's neat."
Yeah, Fire Emblem's the exception. You can hate that.
I was a sick character.
I always go into the tweets and I go past my community, and that's how like I found that Xbox tweet that I posted in our channel. Because so many people like were upset about this. Microsoft replied to Nintendo's tweet with, "It's a good thing Minecraft taught us how to block." And I was just like,
"Yeah, that
oh
was
my
really
God.
Good."
Yes. That is like,
I mean, you guys
I think though that like I mean social media is just I think it's more exhausting in 2020 than it ever has been.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. It's just exhausting. And it's just getting worse. People are just complain about everything. You know what I mean? And I understand it's an easy place to complain. You know what I mean? What else can you do? But like Twitter used to be a lot more memes. And I feel like once they opened up Twitter to 240 characters instead of 160, it just got a lot. What do I want to say? Less meme-y.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree. You have enough time now to give a more detailed complaint. And it's not like you need... You never go above 140 when you're posting a meme.
No. Right? When you're going above a meme, 140, that's not no longer a meme. I liked the increase because it lets you get more information out there. But like the problem is, people don't necessarily put out good information with that.
Yeah, that's the problem. You need information. You better write a 35 thread tweet. That's right. That's my thing.
You got to get your twit longer up there now at that point.
Yeah.
Your pace bins. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Every time I see one of those, I'm so reluctant to click on them because I'm just like, this is so against what this platform is about. Right. I'm on here to digest small bits of information,
I don't want to go.
If it's important,
thing.
I'll click it. You know, if it's something that should like that I'm interested in, or it's important, I'll click it. But sometimes I'm like, you know what? No, this is over 280 characters. I'm moving on.
I see a funny
Grand Pooh Bear highlight 3 tweets from now. I'm gonna go watch that.
Are you guys on Reddit a lot? Or is that
I'm on Reddit a pretty good amount.
Okay. Enough.
That's
not often. Not often. Depends if I'm interested in something and I know there's information I need there.
Yeah. Reddit's like Reddit and Twitter are my main sources of social media. It's terrible.
Same.
But I started looking when I go to R all and I start to see people's questions about legal advice or relationship advice and stuff. I used to click on a lot of stuff, like gossip stuff, really. And then I started thinking, mm-hmm. Wait, this person's life has no effect on me in whatsoever in any way. And ignore it. And I try to do that a lot more. And I think about it for a second before clicking on that stuff. And I think more people need to start doing that. I think we get so absorbed in these platforms and we're like, oh, we just need content. If we need something that stimulates us and good mm-hmm. or bad. And it's think about it. Is it actually going to affect you in any meaningful way? Probably not.
That's
I think that all social media kind of is having I'm learning it might have a shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely has it had a shelf life for me, 1,000%. You know what I mean? Facebook's done. I feel like I'm backing more and more away from Twitter as a personal entertainment tool.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. You know, I still like the gram. TikTok's surprisingly fun. I'm not going to front.
TikTok's very fun.
TikTok, dude. it's really embarrassing when you realize you've been watching TikTok for 45 minutes and all of the videos are 30 seconds. You know what I mean? It's so ridiculous. Yeah. I got a question as an old man on TikTok. You know, I get that everyone does the dances on TikTok, but why do they all do the same dance and who makes it up? You know what I mean? Who's the original person that's making up these dances? You know what I mean? If you have a song Tap In, you know what I mean? Or the Roddy Ricch song. They all do the same dance. Every last one of these TikToks is the same exact dance. Who makes up the dance? Who's the original choreographer? You know what I mean?
One person makes up the dance. One person who's talented does it. And then everybody maybe they'll create a guide for it. Maybe other people just follow along. Because that's how TikTok works, right? It's not sorted by category. It's sorted by soundbite. So everything in that soundbite is you've got the number one soundbite. This guy doing a dance. You're like, I want to try that. And then you do the dance.
Yeah.
And then it just expands. Yeah.
I know. I feel
like it really works with teenagers how many things did you see as a teenager where you see someone do something cool and you're like, I got to try that. Bro, when I started watching So You Think You Could Dance, I guarantee you I spent a lot more time in the big flat dance room of the good life trying to learn some moves.
We didn't get to see a lot of things as teenagers. We didn't have access to the internet like we do now.
No, yeah, but TV was still there.
Yeah, I mean, we had Jackass and point taken.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, Jackass was so dumb. Yeah,
it was.
I mean, that was the king of dumb shit. I mean, we did a lot of dumb shit as kids because of Jackass. There was a lot of kids jumping off roofs and things like that, filming themselves with their VHS.
Well, hell, even recorders. America's Funniest Home Videos, I think, was at fault for some of that.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it was supposed to be more wholesome, but people falling off the roofs and kids are like, I'm going to jump off the roof into the pool like dad did, but he missed. I'm not going to miss. And then they miss. So Jackass was about the falls. America's Home Videos was oh, the falls accidentally happened when they were trying to do something cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100% did shopping carts. Yeah. How many people did shopping cart joust?
Yeah.
Dude, I've definitely done shopping cart jousting.
Yeah.
I've had a good time doing that dumb shit.
Yeah. I mean, as a teenager, you got to do dumb shit. And even as an adult, sometimes you do dumb shit. Hell, I do dumb shit all the time.
That's your mantra. What dumb shit can I do?
Yeah. What dumb shit?
Yeah. It's got to be fun.
Yeah.
I think that's the key is the fun part of the dumb shit, at least in my opinion.
Yeah.
Anyway. Did you guys play Mario 35? I know we talked a little bit about this before the podcast, but
yeah,
what's your feeling so far on Mario 35?
I think
adore it.
Yeah, it's really fun. I've only played a few rounds of it, but overall, it's been very fun. It's been an interesting way to re-explore Mario 1. dead game. No, like Mario 1, like it's gone through so many things, and like we've had so many small little versions of it here and there, and this is a new twist on it, and like it's always nice seeing the old game again, I feel like. And so like, yeah, it's just fun. It's a nice little time. Like I would say it's like a nice time killer, but like when you get to the final like three, like you could be there for like 20 minutes. It's like, oh,
dude, I kind of want this to end. When you get down to the last few. Yeah.
I want this to end.
Yeah.
My first win was like, I had 400 seconds when it got really fast. And by the end of it, like I just outlasted the guy's timer and I was at 12 left and shocked that I won. Yeah.
Yeah. I had one today that I was like, oh, I'm definitely fucking winning this one. And the guy, and he outlasted me. I could not believe it, dude. I was like on 400 on the red for like the first, like, I don't know, 40 seconds because I got 1-2 loops up in there. So, yeah, it was fun. It was really fun. Kind of like, you know, I was changing my meta as the day would go on, you know, like what I was trying and seeing what was effective. I had a really, really good time with it. At the same time, it's not as good as like Tetris 99 was, with all due respect to it. Like Tetris 99 is that mode works for Tetris 99 better, but knowing what Mario Online looks like, I mean, it works pretty great, you know?
Yeah.
You know what's funny is the actual, like the strat is at the end is don't send any enemies to
your opponent.
Like once it goes red, don't send anything over to him.
Just get power-ups or something so your time goes up but not theirs.
That's a good point.
I kind of just bust through, and if I see, I kill. That's just what I do.
That's probably why games go on for so long.
I feel like they should add some sort of bonus when you like finish first, or like when you get a flag, you should be able to take away 10 seconds off a person's time.
Sure.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
So if you're a level in front of them, like if you guys are tied on time and you're a level in front of them, you're actually 10 seconds ahead. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like you should get rewarded for speed and finishing levels, because I think there is a lot of incentive to sit around a lot of the time, which I think that's a big problem with it. I saw one guy today. He just like let things spawn and then just
Turtle
had
shell.
A Koopa shell. Just had a Koopa shell hitting it forever. And literally couldn't lose. That's boring AF, you know?
Yeah, like, you might win, but, like, wow, you really enjoyed that gameplay.
I really like when you get into the late game and you're sending Bowsers and Hammer Bros and Cheap Cheap. Like, when it gets chaotic and, like, you see 1-1, but there's, like, three Bowsers. Like, for some reason, you present that to me in Mario Maker, I fucking hate it. But you give it to me now, and I'm like, yes, this is what I want.
Yeah. Well,
because there's like a reward for killing them. Like you actually get to send it to people and it feels good.
It does. And you were talking about it, like you feel bad when you don't send things back like Bowser's, when you have to skip over them.
If you have to pass a Bowser, like if you're small and you can't actually kill it, you don't have enough coins to like get yourself a POW or a Fire Flower or a Star.
I'm all about hoarding coins. I feel like that's the key. And then at the
Yeah.
Like having more
starting the game, I gotta get my 200 timer as fast as possible. Then I start prioritizing coins, and then, you know, from there forward, you just do what you do.
Yeah. And finally, coins are useful in a Mario game,
right? It's a weird trend.
Only taking
you know what coins
years.
Aren't fucking useful in a Mario game? Mario Sunshine's blue coins.
I knew it.
Shit's the worst.
Yeah, how's
You're
that
not,
going?
Not enjoying Mario Sunshine.
On the contrary, I've loved playing it 100% for the first time. Like I've done the any percent, you know, play through the story, whatever, a whole bunch just throughout my life. But I've never like sat down and like explored the game, done everything, gone through, been having a real great time up until the last 10 blue coins. And now I just hate everything. Like there's no rhyme or reason to where they are. Mm-hmm. There's like, is this so easy to miss them? The fact that like each level has the 8 episodes, right? So you have like your 8 level configurations where in episode 1, you know, you're in Bianco Hill and there's the bridge to the windmill's not there yet. And you're in Bianco 2 and now the bridge is there and a new little island is there. And so with all these different configurations, there's a bunch of like blue coins that only spawn in 1 or 2 or 3 episodes. So when you're searching for them without a guide, you're like, okay, let me go squirt water on every inch of episode one. No, not there. Okay, let me do that again on episode two and see if I find anything. And it's, I've spent the last, like, between the last 2 days, I think like 4 hours searching for one coin in a level, and I'm just losing it right now.
You know, that's funnier because, you know, I remember a time where you spent, you know, years looking for one Korok, and you had
that
a blast
was fun.
Doing that.
Yeah, because the Korok seeds aren't stupid. Like, there's like you find 300 Korok seeds, you understand how they're hidden. You're like, okay, lily pads in the lake, circle of rocks. You know, sometimes there's a nut hiding in a log. So some of them are harder than others, but they're never stupid. And that's what I really admired about them.
Oh, man. I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. I can't remember if I 100%ed that game. But, I mean, it's, Mario Sunshine is weird because I think it has some of the, like, most amazing 3D levels in it, specifically the ones where you don't have Flood. And not that Flood's unfun, but, like, those special levels where you don't have Flood.
Oh, they're so good.
They're so good.
Have you ever heard
of
the ROM hack that's, like, a collection of levels like that?
No, but I bet it's fucking sick.
Yeah, I think I've seen Brams and Truman play it, or, like, a couple of, like, Mario Sunshine runners go through it, but it looks really good.
Yeah, that sounds fucking sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's, I mean, that would be, I feel like if a whole game of just those would be, like, the optimal Mario Sunshine. It's not that Flood is bad. I think Flood is a lot of fun in a lot of ways. It's just, I don't know.
I think it's definitely my least
favorite of the 3D Sunshines.
I totally agree. I think its biggest problem is just how bad some of the levels are. Like, when it's good, it's great. And when it's bad, it's real fucking bad. Like, you play the first two levels, you're having a great time. You get to the fourth level or the fifth level. Like, once you're in the hotel, dude, no level in any Mario game has ever blown as much chunks as that hotel. It's so boring and dumb and not fun and, like, not interesting. Like, oh yeah, sneak through the vents to get this. Go play roulette that doesn't work to get to the secret. It's like, fuck off, man. Have fun with this boss fight that has, you know, you got to throw a pepper and then a pineapple at a ghost that he just vomited at you for, I don't know why, who cares?
It makes sense. Yeah.
Compared to Galaxies and Mario 64, it's definitely not as good as those games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people had, I think the, a lot of people forgot how rough Mario 64 was with the camera. And I think that's been, like, the most, like, revealing thing with people playing the All-Stars edition is just like, people are now just remembering, like, man, Mario 64 has a really ass shitty camera. Like, an absolute,
not to mention,
horrible
in the game, like, he's got the turn radius of, like, a 1984 fucking Dodge Ranger or something, man. Like, that guy cannot.
There was no 1984 Dodge Ranger.
I just made up a truck. I just took some truck words, man. I don't know what trucks
are.
he turns poorly.
Ford Ranger. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
He is a poor turner.
Yeah.
He's not.
Have,
like,
you guys replayed any of the collection yet?
No, I haven't opened my box, man. I'm keeping it in shrink wrap.
Ah. I bought two because I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You bought two. I mean, keep one in the shrink wrap, man.
Right. I'm keeping one in the shrink wrap.
Yeah, you gotta keep one in the shrink wrap.
Yeah.
I don't think it's actually gonna ever be worth a lot of money. No. I don't think it's gonna be like the
I think it'll keep its regular MSRP price value.
Hell, I still have the Wii version of All Stars still in
that
box.
One's worth a lot of money, though.
Oh, is it?
That one is. Oh, yeah, shit. That one is worth a lot of money.
I still have it.
Worth like 120, I want to say. I mean, and a lot of money is, like, you know,
a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
Hey, I mean, it's worth more than you paid for it, which there's not very many video games.
Yeah.
That are worth more than their MSRP.
Looks like at least 50.
That's very true.
This actually brings up a thing I was talking to some other people about recently. You know, we're almost at 25 years into, like, PlayStation games, and a lot of pressed CDs of that kind last around 30 years. So we're going
to. Yeah, like, you were saying that during our meeting the other night.
Yeah. So like disc rot is a real thing. And so like there's a lot of people that collect games and like you can do a lot to preserve them. But at the end of the day, like time will eventually eat away at them. And so like I'm honestly thinking about selling my GameCube collection like in the next 5 years, like before disc rot happens. And
before the disc rot. Yeah.
Before they're
that's,
all useless.
That's so rough because like. I never even really knew disc rot was a thing until you mentioned it. Like, I thought these are just going to be fine for, you know, the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
We should have all, we always should have had cartridges the whole time.
Yep.
Nintendo knew, yeah. Man. Cartridges the 64, have, they knew.
Cartridges can also have issues, but not at, I think we're fine. Like, I think we're going to be good for a long time.
I had to change out the batteries in my Pokemon cartridges a couple years back. I just like bought a pack and did them all at once because I was like, why not? So now my Pokemon Crystal saves again, which is lovely.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I have a Zelda that needs a new battery, but I have a couple different copies of Legend of Zelda 1.
Yeah.
My game collection is like the weirdest game collection you would ever see, especially for someone that has like, that owns a bajillion consoles, because I don't own that many games. And the ones I do, it's like I have like 14 copies of Mario 3. You know what I mean? I have like 40 Nintendo games total, but 14 of them are just copies of Mario 3. and then like three copies of every other Mario. It's stupid, you know? I have my PlayStation collection. Mm-hmm. I have two copies of Resident Evil 2, two copies of Metal Gear Solid. Why?
That's all really
need.
Funny.
That's all you need.
In case one of the discs don't work. I don't know. Like, you know.
That
like,
disc rod, man.
You know?
Yeah, that disc rod. Exactly. So I have like such a weird game collection in that respect. But it's kind of interesting because like video games have gone up in price lately, but they're still not like insane in price, really. You know, there's like no loose copies of games that are pulling in a large amount of money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need the box for that Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, no, you need the box for a lot of those games. Like,
yeah,
just cartridge or just disc is like no, unless the person already has.
I'd love to have a copy of like the big rare games and everything, like the Chrono Trigger, the Mario RPG,
the Golden Eye,
the Conquer.
The rare games.
Earthbound with the big ass box is like. That one's, to me, is like the most fun one. That one's like $500, you know?
Yeah, because it came with a strategy guide and some scratch and sniff stickers.
Ooh, yeah. I wonder if those still smell good. Probably not.
Somebody bought a while ago, somebody got like a brand new box and actually scratched them. And like they paid a lot of money for it and they still worked. But like, yeah, that's like one of those things like, wow, these stickers have been unscratched for 20 years and you just spent like $500+ to get it. Why would you? For science, of course.
Yeah.
Science.
But yeah, they weren't the best smelling to begin with, but they still smell the same, I guess. It was an interesting concept. Earthbound gets a lot of like love and a lot of hate because nobody like not hate, but like people just don't really realize like how crazy of a game it was and is. And
it's such a good game story wise. Yeah. Like anytime I'm not in combat in Earthbound, I have an absolute blast. But anytime you're in combat, I hate the combat so much. And it's not any different than like
other Pokemon. RPGs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just hate the combat. Yeah.
The lack of animations, like any animations at all, like really grinds my gears. But like the story in Earthbound is just incredible. And got a character named Pooh.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty partial to it, you know, as myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know what a weird game is worth a shit ton of money, actually? Mm. Is Batman and Robin, the animated series for Super Nintendo.
Oh, really? Man. I played that. I remember that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah. That game is actually worth a lot of money. And the only reason I know this is because it was the one game that was in my orthodontist's office and he had like four copies.
Oh, wow.
And then I remember. Yeah, then I remember seeing later on in my local game shop a copy of it. It's going for like $350. And I was like, holy
Jeez.
Shit. I was like, holy shit, this dentist is sitting on $1,000 of video games. And I don't even, he doesn't even know it probably. You know what I mean?
You're like, Mom, who is my orthodontist? I need to know.
I want to go buy up his you know, all his copies of Batman and Robin animated series.
So. He was just a big fan of the game, and he's like, "Yeah, I got five copies actually." There's a lot of, like, there's the Ninja Turtle games on the NES. A lot of people know about 1 and 2, but there was a third one, the Manhattan Project, and that was actually worth a lot of money as well. Because the second one was based off of the arcade one. The first one was based off of somebody's fever dream. but the third one was
Wasn't the first one like stupid hard? Like, I know a lot of NES games are like that, but the first one was like ridiculous.
Me and DJ, who you know as Daddy, years ago, probably around the same time as Game Grumps, we tried to do a Let's Play channel, and that was one of our first games that we did. And we actually got to Shredder and like almost killed him, but it didn't happen on that recording. And the hard drive fell off the table and all footage was lost. And so we're like, well, there goes that channel.
Yep. Never. No, there's no way we could do another video. You know?
Yeah,
what I
we
mean?
Can't do
I
like that.
I like how that happens for people. It's like, oh, one thing went wrong. Can never try this ever again.
It was just it was just enough where it's like, not worth it.
Not worth it.
Sadly. I mean, that hard drive was dead too. I did think about sending it to like a repair shop to see if they could get it off, but I'm like, it's not really, like, that was not gold content. That was not, you know, something worth spending $1,000 to get. And that's where I'm like, you know, channel's probably not good use of our time at this point. But yeah, it's that game though. As a kid, I had it for whatever reason, but it was, is like, as an adult, it's not that bad of a game, other than like some of the difficulty parts, like the really hard like jump and stuff. The DOS version though, I think it's unbeatable technically.
Unbeatable. Yeah. The DOS version's unbeatable. Everyone talks about the DAM. I mean, the DAM is like a pain in the
ass.
But
it's
And it's also like, cause it's a timed level too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't dick around in it at all.
Yep.
So it is a bit of a pain in the ass. But like, yeah, there's that one suit, there's like a couple really difficult jumps in it. Mm-hmm. I've actually never been past World 2 of it, but I've never played it as an adult.
Like,
you know?
Well, World 2 was the dam. You're talking about
after the dam.
Yes.
The one after the dam.
With the car when you're in the turtle van.
Yeah.
As a kid, I don't think I ever beat that. And then as an adult, we obviously got to the
How many more worlds are there?
So the van has you going into buildings and stuff and going back and forth and jumping across buildings, and you ultimately fight I think it's the robot turtle, I think. And then I feel like there was only like, I can only remember outside of the Technodome and inside the Technodome. So maybe there was only two more levels. Maybe a third, maybe three. But yeah, not much after the van. And the van level was just like, it was cool because the turtle van, but man, that sucked. Could not get past that. And like, that was with Game Genie. Like, we used Game Genie back in the day to like try, and they're like, nope. Because Game Genie would just be like, yeah, we gave you 9 lives. It's like, I need 1,000 lives.
Well, you better buy another Game Genie.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe
they better buy another Game Genie.
Yeah. Got two. Yeah. One time use Game Genie.
Just stack them on top of each other. Double. You get 19 lives now.
Oh my God. I think I just realized why it was called the Game Genie. You could only enter 3 codes.
Ah.
Fuck me sideways, dude.
Yeah. That's funny. That's good.
That makes. It actually does make a lot of sense.
Yeah, like later on the Super Nintendo and Genesis version, you had more, but on the NES
Game
one,
Shark.
I think, yeah. But like, you could only do 3, I think. Holy crap.
Wow. You just blew, if that is the real reason, you just blew my mind, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe they're like, oh, we can only do 3 codes. And it's like a genie, 3 wishes. What'd you say? It's like a genie.
Dude, they had their own poo on that team. Good names, man.
Yeah, they had their, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of poo on your team, though, we might as well talk about it right now.
Gotta rip the Band-Aid.
I know. So we already know. I've only been on every other podcast because we've had Fall Mania, which unfortunately is at the same time. Now, actually, though, unfortunately, this is going to be my last podcast until probably right around the new year. And I'm deeply,
back for the Warpies.
Back for the Warpies. Yes, I will. I will be back for the Warpies. I am incredibly sad and incredibly sorry, and I can't tell you guys why, other than it's something very, very real cool that's happening, and it's my nights are being taken up to the point where I'm getting about two nights a week with my kid, and that's, I can't give up another one. So unfortunately, something had to go, and it's not that I love Jakku and X-Water, but now I'm just going to have to force them to play Among Us with me every week.
Every so Saturday. Talk with them.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. That sounds like the worst.
Speaking of which, we're playing Saturday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm down. Yeah, right. I'm down.
Sure hope
yeah.
so.
Yep.
Yes, and I can't tell you what it is, although you will know very soon next week, and you can see. Continue to watch and listen to the Warp World podcast, and I will be back. I'm not going anywhere, and I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be some guest hosts stepping in for me during mm-hmm. this time. Yes.
We're gonna do our best. We've reached out to a couple people, gonna reach out to some more, but we're gonna miss you. Yeah. You know, we're gonna miss you for these few weeks, but we'll get by, and we'll keep the show nice and warm for you when you get back.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It's I am sad. It's not the end of an era by any means. The podcast isn't going anywhere. I will be back on it, but it is going to be a little bit.
We're just each week we're act like it was like, oh yeah, Pooh said he's gonna be out this week. And then,
it's going to be like how Mortal Kombat 1 had one actor as Raiden, and then Mortal Kombat 2, they kind of switched the actor in the middle of the film. We're going to get a couple of guest hosts in to just take the spot.
Yeah, we'll keep the spot open for you, unless like one of these guest hosts just outperforms you. You know, who knows? No, I'm just kidding.
There's wow. secret auditions.
It's possible.
Sure, but yeah, like you got some big stuff coming, and like you said, people are gonna find out about it soon, and it's exciting stuff that you can't pass up. At the end of the day, like, you got to take those opportunities and things that get reached out to you, and you're like, yeah, this is amazing. So you got to do those. And time with your family, super important. We're old enough to understand that you'll be back a child. You know, like, this is the growing time of a child. It might not seem like it because he's very young. He's, you know, a little over a year, almost two in January. But like, you know, these are the times where he starts to bond more, and people are like, oh, it's just a kid. He'll get over it. It's not till he's five that he notices. No, they kind of notice that sort of stuff. So like, it's definitely important to share those moments with your child now. You can't get them back. So, but you can get time back with your friends. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And exactly. Yeah, if you sub, I'll tell you what it is, people. I'm just kidding.
And and if there's one thing I really could use, guys, it's some time with my friends. I really, really miss you guys. So I hope.
Yeah.
I hope we do get to do that very, very, very soon. I hope by the time we're back, we can do an in-person podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be so nice.
Yep.
That would be really nice. It's been crazy. I'm glad we were able to see each other at the GDQs, but like, the fact that was the last time we saw each other is kind of crazy. Imagine if one of us skipped GDQ this year.
Oh, dude, I'm so glad I didn't, you know?
Same, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and the whole time I was kind of like, oh, man, maybe, you know, I kind of thought that was going to be my last AGDQ anyway. I was just going to do one GDQ.
Right.
I was gonna bring it down to one GDQ, but now I'm not. Now I want to go to every GDQ always and forever now. Like, it's kind of...
Yeah, just, I never want to miss out again. Yeah.
No, I never want to miss out on anything. You going somewhere? You going to Mexico? I'm coming with you. Literally, you go on a vacation, X-Water, you going to visit your family in Europe? I'm coming. Like, I'd love to meet them. Like, I am doing everything now. You know? 100%. So, should we do, this will be the last side questions I can do for a while.
Yeah. You want to read it?
Go ahead and hit
it. You want to read it?
No, that would be weird.
Well, I've never
read the questions.
That's why I'm like, yeah.
No, that is the Jakku job.
It is my job. It's one job.
Not a job. It literally, I can do it. I can do it. Literally, I know how to read. If that's what we're
But I know how to read. Guys.
I mean, I know how to read.
I don't think that was what we were like
trying to cover for you, bro.
But 167 episodes. This would literally be my first time. I've never read. Even when you're gone, Jakku, I've never read.
Right, and that's why I was like, you know, maybe you want to read it just in case.
Okay, no, I'm gonna do it.
Oh my, he's gonna steal it from me.
Wait, side quest follow-up. Yeah. This is in regards to last week's request for a name. I wasn't even here for last week. Shit. map quest, plural to prevent. Okay, you know what? Fuck this one. Okay. Sup Poo Xwater is from Rated R. Knowing what you know now about how your lives have turned out with Twitch and Warp World, what advice would you give your 18-year-old selves? Yes, still not a pirate? Yar. Lies. What advice would you give your 18-year-old self, Jakku?
Oh, my God. I mean, I feel like everything I've done when I was 18 to now got me to where I'm at now. So, like, giving myself any other advice would have changed that. It would, I mean, obviously, I'd be like, get more Bitcoin. That's a
yeah,
given.
That's the one.
But, like, yeah, the short of it is, like, you can't change history without, like, you can't necessarily make things better just by giving yourself advice in the past, because, like, at the end of the day, reaching out to Pooh before Mario Maker and before beating P-Break wouldn't have been an opportunity. It wouldn't have worked. Pooh would have been like, who's this guy? You know, it wouldn't have mattered. Warp World wouldn't have had a...
You might have been like, who's this guy to me? You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But yeah, like, both of us would have been like, oh, who's this guy? You know, it wouldn't have mattered.
Exactly.
So, like, everything kind of happened for a reason. And I think, like, giving your past self any advice like that would ruin it and would have more devastating effects than positive effects. That said, you know, I guess what I would tell myself is, like, things that wouldn't necessarily affect outcomes of things, just, like, you know, learn more, do more coding, even more, like, learn other languages, and, you know, oh, learn Japanese for sure. Learn Japanese. Mm-hmm. That would have been really helpful for me in the last year or two.
Yeah, I think I'd be somewhere in the same vein. Like, I wouldn't tell myself to, you know, skip going to school or to study something different or whatever, but I'd definitely be like, hey, you fucking learn how to keep a better sleep schedule and fucking, you know, learn some extra good shit. Just stop wasting all your time playing fucking Dota and League of Legends. Like, do something useful with your spare time.
Dead games.
Yeah, they're going to be dead games in 10 years. Yeah. Stop playing those. yeah, it's hard. It is hard because your mistakes and your successes are what make you what you are today.
Yeah. What about you, Pooh?
I don't know. I mean, that's hard. I mean, I don't know. That's really tough. Cause I feel like if anything in my life goes different, I probably don't end up here where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Like, if anything, I'd just say, like, buy a capture card earlier.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, buy a capture card earlier. Cause if I would have started this even earlier, I feel like it would have been way easier than the grind we even had to get go.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. I mean, that's maybe the only thing, but everything else, I don't know. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, I don't know. Don't go snowboard that one single day.
Well, I knew that was going to come up, and I was going to say, like, without that, you wouldn't have started streaming at all. And, like, obviously, like, a week after that happened, you would have been like, oh man, if I could have told myself, like, don't do that, you would have taken that advice. But 5 years mm-hmm. later, like, it's like, no, like, that really did make your life better out of a tragedy. Like, it really did improve your life in so many ways that you would have never imagined. Like, that's why you don't fuck with the past, people. Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, it's crazy. It's always an interesting concept to think about, and, like, what really, if you could, what would happen and what would change. But at the end of the day, you gotta do what you got and hope that is the best. But yeah, butterfly effects.
Yeah, butterfly effects stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It gets so crazy when you think about it and, like, how deep it could go. Mm-hmm. You know, this is kind of on a similar vein. Like, me and Pooh, we were born in the same hospital, week apart. This is for everyone on episode 167 of this podcast, 166 of this podcast, whatever it is at this point. Like, you've heard this story 166 times. But, like, we had crossed paths in so many different ways already. We grew up not too far from each other for a little bit and whatnot. So, like, it's kind of crazy. We didn't meet until we were 30, but, like, that was the time we were supposed to meet. Just how it is.
Yeah.
All right. Wait, cool. One more question. All right. I'll read this one. All right, hear me out.
The question starts here.
Okay. Anyway, here's your question. As a content creator, you always need to test things out on your audience to see what might work. But you're just way better at this than I am, Jack. What's the biggest risk you've ever taken with your stream? Or in Jakku's case with Warp? What does he think? The rest of us don't work for Warp World too? Maybe not work as hard as Jakku, but we're there too. We're risking it every week. And how did it pay off or not pay off? Jakku, or was that a shade, or was that actually shade on Jakku because he didn't consider you a streamer? That might have been shade on you.
And yeah, that might have been shade on me. Yeah, I think
it might. You know what? Either way, it was shade at one of us, and I don't like it, Bodega Kitty.
I don't think it was shade.
I do like your question.
I think it was, what's the biggest risk you've taken with your stream? And then new question, but in Jakku's case with Warp World, what was the biggest risk?
Okay,
so maybe no shade involved.
What is the biggest risk you've taken with your streams? That's a hard one. I can't think of...
Going full-time is the biggest
risk. I think going full-time is one of the big ones, yeah.
Going full-time is the biggest risk because, you know, you're probably... I mean, if you're giving up a job. Like, I gave up a good, fun job that was allowing me to live and have a lot of free time, which I really liked. So that was definitely the biggest risk. I think that's the biggest risk for anyone, and I think it should be... a big decision. It's always weird to me how people are like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I went full-time streaming.
Yeah.
I'm affiliate. 150 subs. I'm like, oh, dude, how did you?
I still live with my parents. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrifying,
or,
you know?
The worst, though, is, oh, I live with my girlfriend. It's like, oh, poor,
dude.
Poor girlfriend.
Dude, imagine living in someone else's house and being a streamer. Like, how I'm so fucking obnoxious when I'm streaming. I'm so loud and
it's not even when you're
rambunctious.
Streaming.
Fuck you. But yeah, going full time. I mean, I definitely did that. I did it really poorly. I was making half of my salary through stream, end of day, you know, all that stuff. So I was like, yeah, this is good enough to risk it. I'll try for a year. If it fails, I'll go back.
Yeah, I remember that.
So I don't regret that. I think I made the right choice. Obviously, it worked out. Yeah. So, but that was probably one of the biggest risks. I think cutting out Mario Maker for me was like when I really was starting to get like miserable playing it too much. Like I really just wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't enjoying my stream, and then I was like successfully diversifying myself into other parts, like other content, but to do so I had to kind of like do it enough that people expected it. So it's like anytime you do something that hits your view count is like, do I lean into this and try and keep it going, or do I just acknowledge that this is tanking my numbers and go back to what was working?
Right. Well, like you,
anytime you try to change things is always a little scary.
You were very much a variety streamer when we met, and like,
yeah,
you were at my house. Oh no, that was when I got Twitter verified. That was my first month of being Twitch partner. You were at my house, and like, we had a discussion about like how you weren't partnered yet. Cause like, I was like, dude, you've been streaming longer than me. You're better at this than me. You're super entertaining. And like, but it was, We pinned it down to being the variety streaming, because like that did hurt.
It does.
And like,
it does.
Your focus was then Mario Maker afterwards, and you got affiliate, which was a slap in the face.
I got affiliate, and then I got partner right after.
I don't know why, but I thought you were a partner before the affiliate program.
It was literally like the week affiliate came out, he got it, and then like within that week he got partner. Because like, oh yeah, we should have made him a partner. But like,
yeah, like I had my partner acceptance email already, but it hadn't been processed, and then like they just applied affiliate to me.
Yeah,
it was
that's really really funny.
Yeah, so
that kind of sucks though, because that ruined your like, I'm a partner, here's my sub button moment.
Affiliates didn't have bits or subs yet, so it was like,
yeah,
I think they had bits actually, but so it like the first day was still incredible. Like it was like that big explosion of excitement, like one of my favorite streams of all time.
Yeah, but now you're able to get back to the variety stream, which is really where you shine. And it's just building that audience and like getting them. But when you're jumping around at first, it's hard to build that audience. So, but yeah, it was a good risk for you at the end of the day. Obviously, Pooh with his going full time on it as well. I remember that time. I was there for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a risk that I intended to take, but I was going to, but not as soon. But you know, earlier this year, I lost my job and I just decided to work on Warp World full time. And I gotta say, I think it paid off.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
Yeah, I would concur with that. Yeah. You know, I would definitely concur with that, that it's paid off. Yeah, I mean, Warp World's interesting because I think there's a lot of risks Warp World's taken as a company in general. Mm-hmm. Just like in, you know, invest anytime we invest, because I think people don't understand how bootstrapped Warp World was until very recently, you mm-hmm. know, like we've just been kind of like, you know, a group of guys just making cool shit with however we could and however we could keep it going. And it's been really, really cool to see. What's kind of funny though is like the thing that, you know, helped take it off was probably the lowest risk, which was just, you know, a site for Jakku to buy turnips so he had no risk buying them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We talk about that so much, and it's like, it's so funny because it was one of those sites, and I don't know if we ever mentioned this on the podcast, but like literally, like I was like, hey, I think we're gonna, like, me and Ross are gonna build this turnip exchange. Probably be kind of cool, probably get a little bit of traction, but you know, it'll take us 3 days to do. No big deal, mm-hmm. sort of thing. Like just a offhand site build. And it's become the biggest site we ever built, really. And it's just like insane how like this one little thing that you're like, yeah, I'm just gonna do it in 3 days or so, how much that can really change your life. So it's fun because we can do risks like that. And like I wouldn't really have called that a risk because like I said, it took us 3 days, but we could have worked on some other project in that time and it wouldn't be nearly as popular. Or maybe it was even more popular. We don't know, but that's the thing. There's so many things. And with our team size and what we have, we juggle so many projects and we handle so many different things. Like we're dive into something really deep for a while, get something close to completion. And you know, it would be like, ah, this just doesn't work. Or we do release it and it's like, it gets some success, but nothing crazy. But we like building stuff. We like to take chances on stuff. If we see something of need for our streams or for our friends that stream, we're build it. And we'll do it.
Yeah. That was cool. Still so funny when we started Turnip Exchange, like just the little meetings we had. I remember Chud being so skeptical of whether or not it was worth, he's like, you guys really think people are going to give a shit about a website to buy turnips in a video game? And we're like, dude, you don't get it.
Yeah.
This is important.
He's like, but like at the end of the day, he's like, if you say so, like we're go, if enough people on our team are like, yeah, this is important, we're definitely go with that direction. Cause you never know. You like, that's the whole point of stuff, is like having different people in different communities to kind of be like, this is really big right now, we should really do this. But it was really fun, and it was really like explaining turnips to him and other people, because I've had so many meetings that don't know turnips or in Animal Crossing, like, so explain this site. And I'm like, you're indebted to this raccoon and you have to pay off your house, but it's not with real money, and the easiest way to get money is this stock market. And they're like, what? But it's great, it's fun.
I've had, like, stocks, not like stocks, like stocks.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I mean, stocks. I get it.
Yeah.
No. Stock. Like, they grow in the ground, bro. Like,
I've had way too many adult conversations around Turnip Exchange. It's very interesting. Or, like,
Turnip Exchange is really funny. Because, like, if you know Twitch, you get how crowd control is a good idea. Like, it doesn't, like, anybody we tell that to, it's very easily digestible. If you know Twitch. If you don't know Twitch, it's hard as fuck to explain. But if you do know Twitch, it's very easy. You get it. Why crowd control works. Like, Turnip Exchange, I still don't even understand why it works. I can't believe how popular it is, other than just the fact that people need their turnips, yo. You know what I mean? Like people, there's not enough bells in the world for some people. You know what I mean? Right. They need to be a bellionaire.
Yep.
And yes, that was a pun.
Like, it was a good one.
There's, I know.
That quest is so, so hard, getting $1 billion.
Oh, it's a lot of dollars, you know what I mean? And I know for a fact there's people on TE, that's short for Turnip Exchange, who's has that quest, you know what I mean? Many people. But it takes so long. It will take so, so, so long to do it.
dude, for me to generate about 130 million, I had to spend 3 hours buying and dropping turnips on my island. And then I had to spend 7 hours organizing two groups of seven people to then take my stacks of turnips, come to my island, take them, and then travel to two designated islands from people who we actually met through turnip exchange. So bless their hearts. We had basically this funneling service where 16 or 17 people of us were working together to make money as fast as possible. And by the end of it, that 5 hours, eight total, including the buying, we generated like 130 million. It was hilarious. Yeah.
And like, that's some dedication, and you're only 1/10 of the way there.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Imagine doing that alone. You would have to take.
Yeah.
20, 30. If you were able to sell on your own island, that'd be dope.
Yeah. I mean, you can. You just got to wait the day. But yeah.
Yeah. Like if you got the good one, I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
The good numbers.
Yeah. A lot of risk there. But yeah, it's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I wouldn't have called it a risk, but it's definitely it paid off. You know, when you know an idea is good, you just know.
For sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
None of us knew that was
good. Well, I mean, we knew it was a good idea for what we wanted. We didn't know it was going to be that good of an idea.
We didn't know it was going to be this crazy, but we knew it was a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I'm like, yeah, we're just going to do this. It's going to be a short thing. Don't worry about it. It's not going to affect other things on Warp World. And then that was a lie, but a good lie at the end of the day. I didn't know it was
that
a lie.
Was a lie.
Yeah. Didn't know it was a lie. Is it a lie if you didn't know? Yes.
No.
Oh, no.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think if it's a lie about future, it was a false prediction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a lie then. Fair. All right. Well, fair. You know, speaking of fair, farewell, Pooh. We will meet again.
Yes. Yes, I will be back. I'm sorry, everyone. But it is cool. I will say it is a very cool thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I'm excited for you. I mean, I'm really excited. That is really cool.
Jakku and X-Water know what it is, and it is very cool. So I'm excited for it too.
Yeah, yeah, it's gonna be a good time. I think people are gonna enjoy it. You're definitely gonna enjoy it. It will be fun to see it and all that stuff. But you know, we will handle the podcast until you are back. And you know, once you're back, you know, it will be a nice little vacation that you have. Yeah. From the podcast, so always good to get a little break here and there.
Yep.
Cool.
All right, we'll see you guys.
You're gonna have to say it one last
time. See you next week. Yeah, we'll see you next week, as in we, the royal we, the Warp World podcast. Another one
in the books.
We're out
in the books.
All right,
have a great week, everybody.
Bye.